news I gained just yesterday dismayed all that I learned. The emptiness of life examined. Time can't be.
Well, hello out there, and welcome to another episode of Things I Learned While Learning Other Things. This is an attempt by me, Joe Morahan, and my brother, J.S., to provide you with a series of interesting, informative, educational, and yeah, we do hope enjoyable stories that will help you navigate through the high seas of life. And today we return to Already Gone, the story of Glenn Frey. And it should be obvious by now that not only did I like and still enjoy listening to Eagles music, but I thought Henley and Frey were amazing talents. And I obviously love the idea of the pursuit of a dream, the pursuit of perfection. And I love the fact that despite the fact there were untold thousands or more of competitors, the Eagles somehow made it to the top of the rock world. And I think it's just a spectacular achievement. Not only did they have talent, perseverance, they had luck, but more importantly, they had genius. And I have focused on Glenn Frey because on May 18th, it will be the 100-month anniversary of his passing. And I've already mentioned that Frey's teenage years had been spent watching Bob Seger do his thing in a Detroit music studio where Glenn Frey took detailed notes as to just how good tracks might be laid down. And he learned from Seger. In fact, Seger was going to offer him a job as a bass player until his mother caught him smoking weed and called Seger and said, "Not so fast. This is a kid. He's not going to be playing the bass guitar for a Bob Seger band. No, it's not happening." So in any event, Frey grows up and we continue his story. He goes now to Southern California where he had the good fortune to be exposed to another talented singer-songwriter from whom he learned even more valuable lessons as to the process that through which great music was created. It sort of reinforced that inspiration, perspiration thing that is for certain. For Glenn Frey lived upstairs from no less a talent than Jackson Browne. And he was forced every morning, whether he was interested or not, to listen through those floorboards as Brown practiced his new songs relentlessly over and over, crafting his songs one verse at a time and doing so over and over again for hours. Then there'd be a teapot, yes, a teapot whistling, at which point there would be silence for a few minutes, and then Jackson Browne would head back to his keyboard and play that verse over and over again, adding a chorus, and do it over and over again until he was pleased with what he found. Teapot whistling, back at it, verse two. And this went on for weeks, and it blew Frey away. And then he realized, so this is how a great song comes about. That's not just inspiration, it's preparation, perspiration. It's going over and over and over the material until you've got it. Doctor My Eyes distilled only after weeks and weeks of endless, ceaseless repetition by Jackson Browne. You know, one learned, Frey did anyway, that you know it don't come easy. Not when you're a singer-songwriter. And it's a well-told tale that Jackson Browne wrote most of the lyrics. So the Eagles' first hit song, Take It Easy, but he never finished it. He didn't quite know where to go with the song. He didn't know how to take it past the point where he was at. He just didn't feel what should happen next in that song. And he played what he had put together for Glenn Frey. And Browne sang, "Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Such a fine sight to see. Now what?" And that's what he asked Frey. And Glenn Frey came up with the following line, as we all know. "It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me." In one sentence, a car, a girl, a reference to God, all in one verse. If this isn't America, I don't know what it is. It represents America like nothing else. And Browne told Frey, "Hey man, it's all yours. You take it. You do something with it. You finish the song." And Frey said that he would. Now, there is a good turn, but that gift by Jackson Browne, that didn't turn itself into a song, a hit song on its own, without a great deal of work by Frey, Henley, and the rest of the Eagles. Sure, it was an incredible piece of good luck. Yeah, it was. But it was the essence of an idea for a song. There was a song there amidst the universe, certainly. But still, that song was situated in, existed only in the ether and now in the mind of Glenn Frey. And Frey and the Eagles then had to take that good fortune and that hint of an idea and turn that tune into something tangible, something commercial, something really good. You know, products exist, but obviously Frey and company turned that good fortune into, first of all, a product, and then into something spectacular. And then they went out and recorded it and gave it to the world. And that's what separates truly talented people from the run-of-the-mill average schmo. So it is just unlike most people to follow through to make something out of a gift. And no doubt there had been some good luck. There was more good luck involved for the Eagles, because not only had they met Jackson Browne, not only had Glenn Frey been fortunate enough to work with Bob Seger, but then they met Linda Ronstadt. And it was a good break that she thought them talented and personal enough to back her up and go on the road with her. But don't kid yourself. She didn't hire Frey and Henley just because they were good guys or good musicians. She needed and wanted a great backup band. And that was Frey and Henley. They were that good. No, take that back. They were very good. In fact, they were great. And they did not hook up, it must be said, with such a talent as Linda Ronstadt by chance. They were recognized by Linda Ronstadt as great musicians. They had earned their place, and when on the road, they told Linda that they wanted to quit her tour to form their own band. She wasn't upset. Another good piece, you know, a piece of good luck. No, she was very supportive. She promised to do all that she could to help them make it, to promote them any way she possibly could. And not just because they were good musicians, but they had been good guys. They played their role. And you know, it's funny in life, if you act the right way, you're likely to get treated well. And that she promised, Linda Ronstadt said, that she promised to help them was really a testament to her class and her grace, because she could have been pissed off that they wanted to leave her tour. But she'd recognized that they were great talents, good guys, and were likely to become a big act if they got a lucky break. And again, it was due their talent, their work ethic, their good fortune, and it all paid off. You know, a sense of timing in life is important to success. And sometimes it's just the time to move on. Fry and Henley knew now was the time that they should head out on the road, form their own band. And there's a million talented musicians out there. Only a minuscule few become Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Jimmy Page, Paul McCartney, you know, Lennon, Eric Clapton. And Henley and Fry added their names to that list. And while Glenn Fry has checked out, he can never leave us. Not us. Not in the minds of bandmates, family, friends, fellow musicians, and his millions of fans all around the globe. 53 years after Glenn Fry and Jackson Browne first wrote those magical lyrics to Take It Easy, one should be able to appreciate that stardom does not come easy. But Fry and Henley persevere. And between 1972 and 1980, the Eagles offered up memorable hit song after hit song. Their portfolio of authentic, creative, unique songs was spectacular. Their lyrics were memorable. They had catchy choruses. And decades later, you can actually remember where you were when you first heard an Eagles song. We lived with the Eagles. We lived with their songs. They were a part of our lives and have been for decades. And really, those songs have never grown old. They are just loaded with nostalgia. Even sad, melancholic Eagle songs, you know, painful songs of deceit and betrayal, like Lion Eyes. And somehow, you know, if you've been terribly wounded by betrayal, there's Victim of Love, if you will. But you listen to Lion Eyes, and somehow, against all that, you feel better. You feel invigorated, man. I mean, how can this be? When you hear Eagle songs in a restaurant today, you know, on a freaking elevator even, they just make you feel so good, don't they? You know, that's why they still play these Eagles mixes in endodontist office, dentist office, doctor's office, in waiting rooms, when you are in for like much feared gruesome root canals. Why? Because the Eagles songs, they take the edge off things. They put your mind in a better place. Eagles songs capture your attention and take your mind off the less pleasant happenings of life, at least for a few moments or two. And I realize I may be a bit hyperbolic here, but I do suggest more of the Eagles repertoire be played. You know, more from their catalog of hit songs is more likely to promote world peace. I mean, think about it. You know, so sort of a question for you. What do you think might better promote a more harmonious society, a more strife-free planet? I mean, listening to, say, Take It Easy or Peaceful Easy Feeling. Or do you sincerely believe, take the position, that planet Earth will be made a better place, a more peaceful place? People help to become less troubled after they might listen to, say, NWA rap out, Fuck the Police. I mean, I know where I stand on this issue. So for now, we'll close out this episode of Already Gone, Glenn Fry Part 4, and we'll return in our next discussion to discuss the rarity of second acts in America and the demands upon leadership in all successful endeavors. It requires vision and guts and a willingness to take a stand on matters because people just aren't always gonna agree as to how things are gonna work. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. There's no other way to do it. Hey, thanks for listening. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Head out to the sea, crystal blue water surrounding me. Tap to the wind, taste the sea breeze, tropical heaven on the coral sea. A little more rum, I think of my wife. What did I do? Have I ruined my life? Tell her I've changed, become a new man. I promise I will, and I know that I can. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? The sea is now boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. Years from tomorrow, days from the land, nothing can save me unless fate lends a hand. Storm, it is worse than I know. The wind and the waves are taking their toll. I look to the stars, there's none I can see. I'm afraid fate, she has answered me. Only moments my story will end. And there was a story I wanted to send. Oh, how I dream for the calm of the sea. Face smiling back at me. The sea is boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life.